Middle-Aged Men in Cleveland, episode 133. The numbers just keep getting bigger. I can't believe that we're still doing this, but it's been fun. Ted Klopp. Ted, you're in spring training, so it's Oral Hershiser. Ken Dworsnyk. Why fool around? Let's get to our favorite game.
Yes.
The jersey numbers, Mr. Klopp. The jersey numbers. Here we go.
33.
33 for the Cleveland Browns.
33. Well, that's Leroy Horde.
Done. That's also Curtis Dickey. Fun name to say.
Yeah.
Ronnie Harrison. Ronnie Hickman. Dalen McCutcheon. I know he's a fan favorite. Mike Oliphant. Remember him?
Oh, my God.
Jordan Poyer. Trent Richardson.
Oh, my Reggie God. Reggie Rucker.
How about that? Reggie Rucker wearing 33. And Tom Shane. I want to talk about Tom Shane. Tom Shane played for the Browns for 1 year, and I work with Tom, and unfortunately, he's no longer with us. He was the Villa Angela St. Joe's football coach and athletic director.
Oh.
At our first meeting, I know it because he almost basically said that. I think he thought I was a complete jackass. So, which I don't blame him because I was 30 years old and trying to figure things out. But Tom was a good guy, and it was great to see his name today on the jersey numbers. You got anything for the Guardians?
Eddie Murray.
Well done. This is a pretty good list, by the way.
Is Nick Swisher a 33?
He certainly is.
Okay.
We paid him a lot of money.
Russell Branyon.
No, you are 3 for 3.
Okay.
Yes. Wow. Let's see. How many Hall of Famers on here? One. I think two. Yeah. I think there's three Hall of Famers left that you haven't named.
Which
is impressive.
I don't know.
Okay.
Out here.
Frank Robinson.
Okay.
Cecil Fielder. How about that?
I don't remember him.
He was brief. That was like the end of his career and all that stuff. David Justice.
Oh, sure. Oh, my God.
Harold Baines. Remember Harold Baines?
Yeah, there's another guy I don't remember being with the team, but okay.
Ron Kittle. Johnny Damon.
Yeah.
Mudcat Grant.
Okay.
Louis Tiant. Logan Allen, Brad Hand. That's a great
Brad
list.
Hand. Okay. That's
a great list. Remember he was the really good reliever we had?
Yeah.
I thought he played for Houston at some point.
I was going to say San Diego, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, that is, you're correct. He came from San Diego, but I think he did play for Houston too. How about your Cavs? I think you're going to get this one.
I can't think of his name. The fifth guy on the 80s teams, the small forward. Sanders?
Sanders, yes.
Mike Sanders?
Mike Sanders. Well done. He came in the Larry Nance trade.
Yeah.
Daniel Marshall. Shaquille O'Neal. Almost forgot that he was playing. He played on our team. He was wearing some 33.
Okay.
Alonzo Gee. Brandon Haywood, Robin Lopez. These are some. I was impressed with the jersey numbers from this week. That was pretty impressive with the old 33.
Yeah.
Are you ready for spring? Spring hits here pretty soon. I think it's like 11 o'clock. I think it's actually yesterday. So.
Oh.
Are you ready for spring?
No.
I mean, we had the day after St. Patrick's Day, and I talk about my out and about. We had every weather pattern possible.
It's there's snow on the ground. This is Bolshoi. Bolshoi, I tell you, Ken. It's Bolshoi.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, what do we got on the show today?
This is a big show.
Okay.
Big show.
All right.
We have a Kentucky couple who gets lucky twice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That'll be on Patreon later. Adusa or Adosa, I don't know how you say this, but it is a world record length.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Did a man owe his ex-wife money for housework?
Okay.
We have that answer. We also have, hold on to your seats, our own Ken Dworznik has a life-changing announcement later in the show. Is that true?
I believe it is, yes. Is it?
Okay, all right. I just wanted
And it has nothing to do with anything with John Ryan, who's also joining our show.
Did you, or Scott Sable, did you get a new pair of shoes?
No, that doesn't happen very often, Ted. As you know, being a middle-aged man, I wear those things until they literally fall apart. Now, I will Elmer's glue or whatever I have to keep those going, but it is not that. So.
Okay.
A lot of people have asked me some questions. I figured it's a good time for me to talk about some things.
Okay. Well, we'll ask questions, and Ken, I think, is going to provide the answers later on in the show.
And now, a woman's perspective.
How do you keep your husband from reading your email? Rename the mail folder instruction manuals.
This has been A Woman's Perspective.
Ted, time for some good news. We both can use it. Luck times two for a Kentucky couple. Back in November, Mark Perdue, I wonder if he's related to Will Perdue, who played for the Chicago Bulls. Could be. Says the manager at his local convenience store congratulated him on winning the lottery. He didn't believe her, but she said that they had him on a video buying a winning $50,000 ticket. However, the ticket still needed to be turned in, and Perdue and his wife couldn't find it until last month when Perdue checked on a company car and found the ticket inside. How about that?
What are the odds?
Well, what are the odds? They almost didn't win. So luckily that car was theirs. If that was a rental, like I usually do for work, no gods.
No
gods. Well, congrats to Mark Perdue. $50,000. What would you do with 50K if you got it right now? What would you do? Throw yourself a party? Go to Vegas?
Pay off debt.
There we go.
That's it.
I would put a statue up of you in front of my house is what I would do. So I could look at it every day.
Twice.
That's our good news.
Forecast Roulette with the official, the official meteorologist of two middle-aged men in Cleveland, Fox 8's Scott Sable.
All right, it's time for another edition of Forecast Roulette. Fox 8's Scott Sable is here. Scott, what's going on these days? When you're not on the air, what are you doing? You playing golf? What happens?
I hope to play golf. I mean, the weather's going to get snowy again. But let's see. What have I been doing? We're doing a lot of volleyball. My daughter's playing a lot of volleyball. Working out, trying to get outside, and just enjoy the sunshine the few days that we've had.
Huh. Makes sense. Nice.
Well, it's the life of a meteorologist, man. You always have to be ready for the weather, so you can't have a lot of activities. That's just how that works.
No, that's right. Exactly. And I have a new snow gauge, by the way. I put that together. That was exciting.
Okay. That's interesting.
Cool. That's all I got. I just have a new snow gauge. There's no stories behind it.
I like that. Well, appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
Ted, we probably should spin the wheel.
Let's do that.
All right, Ken.
I'll spin it. Yeah, I've been working out, not as much as Scott. I'm hoping to look like him someday, but I'll spin this. Here we go.
Okay. Wow. You okay?
Yeah.
Did you fall?
No.
Okay. Are you working measurements? Is that what you're doing?
The measurements, yes.
Okay. All right, it's coming to a stop here. And, okay. Well, it's the city of brotherly love.
Oh,
which for those who maybe don't aren't familiar with city nicknames, that'd be the old Philadelphia, PA. Scott, have you ever been to Philadelphia?
I have been, but it's been a long time.
Okay. Geno's or what's the other place? Geno's or what are the two cheesesteak places? Oh, I can't remember now. Did you go to the two cheesesteak places that are across the street from each other?
You know what? Yeah, I wish. That's on my list. That's definitely on my list.
Okay. Well, whatever. What do you got?
What do you mean whatever? What do you mean whatever? What does that mean? All right. Yeah, I get it. Oh, what do you need now? A forecast? Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Philadelphia has actually been pretty sunny as well. It's been very dry. Temps in Philadelphia right now, as we record this in the middle of the afternoon, in the mid-40s.
Wow.
Mid-40s. By the way, it's Pats and Geno's. Those are the two across from each other's. Geno's looks like you're in Las Vegas. Pats, what movie was Pats in? Anybody?
Don't know.
Rocky.
Oh, Rocky. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Do we know anybody famous from other than Rocky from Philadelphia? Do we have any Cleveland connections to Philadelphia? Anybody? I mean, I know Charlie Manuel was the manager, but is there anybody else?
Can't think of anybody else off the top of my head.
I think there might be a Cleveland connection. I think, Scott, I think you interviewed this guy, Matt Foreman, who's the assistant GM for the Guardians. I believe he's from Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are correct. That's right. Well, yeah, we did have a chance to talk with him. It might have been right after the holidays. Yeah, it was like, or maybe right before Christmas, something like that. Yes, he is from Philadelphia. Yes. It was a great talk. They were talking about, at that point, you know, he was talking about the new renovations to Progressive Field, and it was a good talk. He was doing the media circuit, so we only talked with him for maybe 5 minutes, but nice guy. You know, couldn't give any insight on any player development at that point, which we were looking for, but I understand why he had to be a little hush-hush.
Yeah, understandable. He's interesting. He has a journalism background. He went to Northwestern, so obviously very cerebral. Probably why we can't get him on the podcast. So,
yeah, exactly.
Part of it. So we'll see.
All right. Spell two middle-aged men in Cleveland. We just work on counting to two.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Public school, right? No, Ken wasn't public school.
Was no, he? I was private school, but I was there for different reasons because my parents thought I was going to be a hooligan. So. I didn't get any special honors when I graduated. I'll leave it at that. They were actually happy to see me leave. So
fair enough.
Well, Scott, Philadelphia, outstanding stuff. Once again, what's our temperature there? 50?
Right now it's about 45.
Okay.
45.
Not bad.
Fair enough. Okay. Wonderful. Well, Scott, thanks for the time. Ted, you got any last words for our meteorologists? I know you enjoy speaking with them.
I do enjoy speaking with them. When you were there, Scott, did you run up and down the Rocky steps?
You know, I didn't. Oh. That's again on my list. Andy, you were probably like, how long are you there? Not very. but no, that's on my list of things to do.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have you back on again when you do that. Thanks.
All right. Fair enough.
Forecast Roulette with the official, the official meteorologist of two middle-aged men in Cleveland, Fox 8's Scott Sable.
Said we're out and about Northeast Ohio, and we were in Northeast Ohio. We're going to start with the MAC tourney that I had the opportunity to go to on Saturday.
Now, wait a minute. I heard that you got tickets to this through the University of Akron.
I did.
Am I confusing that?
A little confusing. So my kid's grandpa, who was super nice about this whole thing, wanted to do a birthday gift for Riley. And so he contacted me and said, hey, I want to do this. Do you have anything going on Saturday? I'm like, no. So he got tickets. And this is not his fault because it is confusing now with the way things are. If you buy tickets for a game in a tournament like that through a school, if that school doesn't make it to the championship game, those tickets are gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like going to SeatGeek, which, you know, a lot of different people do because they're kind of neutral or whatever, and they just want to buy a ticket to go to the game. So it was a little sketchy, Because if Akron didn't win, we're going to have to do something else. But they did win to get into the championship game. So we went. It was awesome. I mean, they close off the upper levels. And so everything's lower bowl. It's a super, super fun time. I mean, it was pretty loud in there for not having a full arena. But it was a great game. Akron ended up winning. I think, as many of you know, there was really kind of a strange play at the end of the game concerning Kent. They were up. There was like 7 seconds left, and unfortunately, one of the players didn't realize the score of the game and decided to commit a foul, which put Akron to the free throw line, and they made their 2 free throws, and they ended up winning the game by 1. So, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was easy to get in, easy to get out. A lot of people around us just had a great time. So that was number one. Number two, been to a lot of other places, but I wanted to highlight this place specifically. Schnitz Ale House, which is located in Parma, they have taken over the old Brew Kettle distribution area in Strongsville. Mm. And so I had the opportunity to go check that out. If you are in that area, and it's kind of like in a industrial park area, it's awesome. They have a really good tap room. They have food. It's super nice. So I would highly recommend that. I really enjoyed myself. It was about a week or so ago, and just check that out. So Ted, those are my two out and abouts, the Mac Turney and the Schnitz Ale House. I'm going to hand the baton over to you. And usually we do talk about some of this stuff. I don't know where you're going to go with the out and about, but I'm happy to sit here and listen.
Well, we decided to take our ball and go home. And then we went to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
You did?
Oh, yes, geez. We did.
Wow.
We got some very nice tickets and went to the Columbus Blue Jackets. And the game was, they lost 6-1. So
who do they play?
The Winnipeg Jets.
Oh, wow. And Winnipeg scored 6 goals?
Yes.
I'm going to sound like John Ryan for a second. Every time Winnipeg plays, the best bet on them is usually to play the under.
Well.
So obviously that didn't happen in that game.
No. That was,
No.
I'm not sure. The Columbus Blue Jackets played defense kind of like I've seen some of the teams my kids are on.
Oh,
so that was not terribly impressive. Unfortunately, neither was the game presentation nor the arena experience.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, maybe we're spoiled because we got the monsters, but there was no. Now, I know that the Blue Jackets are in last place.
Sure,
but the pregame video and all that. There was just no excitement, buzz. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go.
Now, I went to a game last year where they played Edmonton, and I saw one of my favorite players play, mm-hmm. not from the Blue Jackets, obviously, but the Oilers. Was the place packed? Because when I went, it was packed.
It was pretty full. Yeah, okay. It was pretty full. The other two frustrating things. So my wife got up and went out and ordered nachos. You know, she went to the concession stand. After placing the order, she waited more than 10 minutes to get the nachos.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's something going on there.
I don't understand that.
Huh, and, that's strange.
The game ended. I said to the boys, I said, let's go down by the glass and I'll take your picture. They're very excited. Go down. Take a couple pictures, and the usher is shooing us out. And I'm like, the game just ended. So we go upstairs. I use the restroom. My wife makes a purchase at the souvenir stand.
Yeah. She
goes in the restroom, and the kids are playing the bubble hockey while we're waiting for my wife.
Yeah.
And two different ushers come over, and they're like, okay, got to move out. Got to move out. They're going to turn the lights off. You got to move out. Got to get out. We got to go.
Huh.
And I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, that's strange.
For, you know, it's 10 minutes after the game ended, And this is the way you treat the customers that, you know, those tickets aren't cheap.
No, hockey, in my opinion, is, yeah, it's one of the most expensive sports to watch.
Yeah.
Besides maybe football. So, yeah.
So that was, I mean, the kids had fun. That's really the main thing that matters. But I think we will stay a little closer to home.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with the Monsters. Both you and I have taken that in this year. You've taken them a couple more games than I have, but it's a great experience.
So. Yes.
Well, Ted, thanks for the update. Appreciate you're out and about. Trying to support the upper major league team for the Monsters. I forget about that too, by the way.
Yeah.
Blue Jackets are the parent team of the Monsters. So, but I appreciate you being out and about, spending your hard-earned money. Next time, maybe you won't get kicked out of the arena like you did. So.
Ken, Overachievers Now, an Indian food company, celebrated its 100th anniversary by cooking up a dosa. It measured 123 feet.
Oh, my.
Do you know what a dosa is?
I do not. I'm not familiar.
It's a thin crepe made from fermented batter of ground white gram and rice.
Okay.
A team of 75 chefs from MTR Foods in Bangalore made the lengthy dosa, which is now the longest in the world. It more than doubled the previous record holder.
So that's the longest dosa in the world? I don't know what's so funny about that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That group has the longest dosa.
That's what I want.
Yeah. Oh, the longest dosa? You want to have the longest dosa?
Okay. Some claim to fame.
Well, there you go. That's an overachiever.
We're joined by John Ryan from the predictiveplaybook.com. John, who's our expert in betting, we figured this would be a great time to get the prognosticator to talk to us about the NCAA tournament. And John, before we go into that, gosh, you've been hot with your bets in the past couple days and for the past couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been rolling pretty good for the year on several sites that I'm on, which is probably about 12. I'm ranked number one, and humbly stated, and we just grind it out every single day. And I don't even look at the standings, to be honest, but one of my clients, such as yourselves, mentioned it that, hey, did you just notice that you're third? And then the next day I checked again, it was second, and then lo and behold, it was one. So what's encouraging is the algorithms that I've implemented into it is kind of like the AI news that you're hearing with NVIDIA and stuff, where it has predictive powers, but it still comes down to my intuition and my 29 years of experience to validate the algorithm recommending to bet on a certain team. But since I put these 52 algorithms in place, the results have been beyond my wildest expectations. We've had 19 of the last 23 days have shown profits. As you guys know, Saturday and Sunday were actually net losses each day. So we do have losses, but the percentage of 19 out of 23, I'll take that anytime, any day, any month, any year.
For sure. Well, John, appreciate the honesty, obviously, and that's it's very exciting to work with somebody and obviously have a guest on our show that's completely honest and is not afraid to say, yeah, sometimes I do lose. But you know what? If you look at the percentages and things like that, obviously at the end you come out. Well, John, and I know Ted has got a couple questions. I'll just start off with this. It'll be a softball question. NCAA tournament, March Madness. Everybody just goes crazy. They want to bet on every game, every single tournament game, the whole nine yards. One, how do you do this safely, John? Two, what's your approach going into so many games with so many days?
Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is just tread lightly. Don't bet every game. Don't bet the dogs, because this is the one time of the year where the public is enamored with underdogs. Any other sport, NFL, what do? They bet the favorites and the over. In this situation, they're going to be betting the dogs. The total isn't so much public biased, but they will lean the over. So keep that in mind. You kind of want to run contrarian to the herd, so to speak. So if the pros and the Joes are on a certain team and only 28% of the tickets and the handle are on the other team, that may present a pretty good betting opportunity. If you tell your friends that you bet on that team, they'll probably say, oh, my God, they have no chance. And then 3 hours later, you'll gloat because they won outright. So that's what happens. And, another thing that people make a mistake of, if you lose money in round one and you're betting $100 a game, don't start betting $200 and $300 to win it back. That is the worst strategy in your head, because all it's going to do, it's a negative thought. It's a totally negative thought. I got to bet more now to win back what I just lost, such as in Wall Street as a trader when I was, and I still am. If I lose on NVIDIA with options, $500, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and say, you know what, I got to put in $2,000 to make up for that $500, because that's not a strategy. That's hope. And you really shouldn't have any hope unless you're just filling out a bracket.
Hey, John, I hope you'll have an easy time with this question. With regard to seeds, are there certain seeds that are the sweet spot for the – it's a safer bet and I can make a little bit of money. The risk isn't as great, but also the profit isn't as great, but maybe my chances of winning the bet are better. Or is that usually the 10 seed, the 9 seed, any science to that?
There are. And I would caution people to not assume that, okay, this trend's going to continue for this tournament. I actually spent the better part of an hour in an exercise of futility, calculating the exact odds of having a perfect bracket. Are you ready for this? It's more than 7 quintillion to 1. That's a billion billion. So
it's a billion billion. I can't even fathom that number. A billion billion. So, wow.
Over the course of 368 years from now, there will be one perfect bracket. That's putting it in perspective.
That's crazy.
So, when you fill out the brackets on ESPN and the major platforms, the goal is to laugh at how stupid you really are. And I don't care what AI is doing right now, NVIDIA, whatever. It'll be 500 years from now until a AI bot is going to be able to predict human behavior with 64 permutations, if you will. Permutation is, they say you have a three-team tournament. There would be three games. There's four teams, you have three games. If you expand that to eight, it increases exponentially. If you have 64, it exponentially increases. If 96, which is what they're talking about doing, maybe next year or the year after, it becomes unattainable.
Yeah.
But in the first four games, there are some trends here. First four games of dogs in the first round have hit 56% over the last 15 tournaments. Lines with 5 points and higher, so dogs of 5 and higher, are running on a 7-1 against the spread and 7-1 straight up ledger. So that would put two games in play today and tomorrow to take the dogs that are 5 and higher and bet them. I haven't looked at first four games yet. I normally don't put them out to the clients for obvious reasons, because there really is no way to really have confidence in doing this. I mean, this gives us confidence to bet dogs 5 or more, but it's also at a point where that trend might regress and go to 7-3. That's still hitting 70%, but you just lost two bets and it's still 70%. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that does. That does.
The number 6 seeds are 21-34 in the first round against the spread. I don't have the bracket in front of me right now, but I can actually pull that up over here on the other page. I think I have it. Let's see. I don't think I do have it.
And some traveling music here. You got?
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't have it in front of me. If you guys can tell me who the 6 seeds are for the people that are listening, then that would be cautionary to bet on them.
Yeah.
They don't do very well against those 11 seeds. Clemson actually is one of my picks. I know Clemson is a 6 seed. They're going up against New Mexico.
But you got BYU. They're a 6 seed.
Yep.
Clemson, you said. And then over on the other side, I'm not sure why my hold on. I got to reduce my Zoom. You know, I'm an elderly person here.
Boy, we're betting a million today. I know Texas Tech
is a 6 seed. Is a 6 seed.
Yep.
And South Carolina is a 6 seed.
Yeah, so those would be a little bit of caution. However, Clemson is a pick from my predictive models, and it's backed by an algorithm. It's hit 67%. You're betting on any team playing with 7 or more days of rest, facing a foe that is playing on fewer than 7 days of rest. And what that means is that the team we're betting on did not make it to the conference tournament. So if it's more than 7 days, they didn't make it to the conference final on Saturday or Sunday, and now they're, you know, playing with all that rest. The team they're playing against either made it to the semis or the conference final. Our team is coming off a humiliating 15 or more point loss. I believe Clemson was annihilated by North Carolina in round one, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
So that backs up that. So that set of 3 combinations is pretty darn good. And if this set of parameters happens in the NCAA tournament, it's 6-1 straight up and against the spread. So that puts us on Clemson.
Yeah. Very cool. That's a good one.
The team I do think I'm going to – I have put this out as a bet before, like probably about 6 weeks ago, is Auburn Tigers. And how in the world they got to be a 4 seed in this committee of intelligent people, I have no clue. So I'm not intelligent enough to understand why an SEC champion that has played the gauntlet schedule that they have played is not worthy to be a number 2 seed, yet Iowa State, who throttled Houston in the championship game, gets the nod as a 2 seed. If anything, being the 4 seed is blackboard material for Coach Pearl and his team, that they disrespected you, and how are you going to come out there and prove them wrong? I think that's going to go a million miles for that team, and they have a softer schedule with being in that 4 seed. And who knows, maybe the 1 or 2 seed in that bracket is going to get knocked off, which I believe is Connecticut and Iowa State, right?
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Yep.
That's interesting, John. That's so you think Auburn is a team to take a look at, which I would agree with him on that for sure. Well, locally here, we have one team from Northeast Ohio. That'd be my last question for you, John. Then obviously want to let the listeners have an opportunity to find out where they could follow you and sign up for your packages. Akron University, University of Akron. How do you say that, Ted? Is it University of Akron?
I think it's University of Akron.
They're playing Creighton on the 21st. Any thoughts on that game at all? I know certainly people try to, you know, bet on the local teams. If you have a lean or anything like that, let us know. If not,
I'll pull it up right now from the model, because the model has run. And let's see, Creighton. They play Friday, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1:30. Right.
Where is Akron here? 1:30.
Should have been
sorry for the delay.
You don't commit fouls when you're winning.
We're not going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
We're not talking about that.
I'm sorry.
Akron is actually 1:30 on Thursday, and not correcting you. I didn't mean it.
It's fine. You're fine, John. I got my days mixed up.
But yeah, Akron actually has played 2 more games than Creighton has. 24-10. They are the Zips. And Creighton is 23-9, but that's face facts here. Creighton's a 12.5-point favorite. There is money from the public coming in on Akron. I think the way I'm going to play this game initially is to put 50% pre-flop on Creighton and then look for Akron to get out to a start. Maybe Creighton will be a little flat thinking that, okay, we're gonna beat these guys. So you know, we're already thinking about round 2, and that happens in round 1. Favorites – double-digit favorites are not good against the spread. But this team is so well coached under Greg McDermott that I can't see them going the first 5 minutes and then getting a wake-up call from Coach McDermott on the sidelines, and then they'll take off. But it's a very, very tough matchup for Akron, sadly enough. I wish I had better news for you guys.
Yeah, I saw who they were playing. I'm like, oh, geez. That's That's not what you're looking for.
That's not a potential upset, I don't think, but stranger things have happened. Look at Iona last year was what? Leading at the half against UConn round one.
Yeah, that's true.
And UConn went on to win it. Yeah, so
that's a good point.
It's madness.
It is. Well, John, thank you so much for the information. Thanks for the information on Clemson. We'll be following. I'm also going to be following Auburn as well. And thanks for your insight on the Creighton-Akron game. John, if people want to get more information and get your picks, what do they need to do and how can they sign up on the predictiveplaybook.com?
Well, you can attack my email if you want, johnryansports@gmail.com. My website is predictiveplaybook.com. And, of course, over on the X, at John Ryan Sports and the number one. And you can send me direct messages to your heart's content, and I'll be sure to get the best answer I can possibly get back to all of you. There is a special going on now for the NCAA tournament. It's only $100, 50% off the price that is charged on the websites right now. It's normally $400. So because you guys are listening, you want to get involved, get this research and the analytics, $100 is all I'm asking.
That's a great deal, John. My gosh. Wow. Well, John, appreciate the time. The next time we'll have you on, we're going to talk some baseball. I can't believe that. We actually have the first game of the year that's starting here as we record this on Tuesday at 3:30 in the morning, I believe, on Wednesday. Yeah, the Dodgers are taking the hill against the Padres. They're playing in, I believe it's Japan. So, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. I can't wait. Wow.
John, thanks again. Appreciate your insight. We'll talk very soon.
You got it. Thank you.
The most trusted name in journalism, Klopp's Clips.
All right, Ken, this is where we're at. The UK Antarctic Heritage Trust is looking for five people to serve at the world's southernmost post. Southernmost post office, I should say, in Antarctica. So if you're looking for a job, you know, this could be it. The five people are going to sort mail, and that's not all. They're also going to count the number of penguins in the area.
Count the number of penguins?
They're going to count the number of penguins.
Huh.
So if you feel that penguin counting is your strong suit, that's what you need to do. The job's going to last 5 months.
That's it? And then you got to find other work?
You got to find something else. Put that on your resume. What did you do previously? Sorted mail and counted penguins? Hired.
What about after the penguins, you just have to count other animals?
I don't know.
Maybe the whales or seals or something? Yeah.
What other animal would be dumb enough to live at the Antarctica?
I think seals are there.
Okay. A court in Spain says a man owes his ex-wife almost $96,000 as compensation for work as a housewife during their 26 years of marriage. The court says that's because the wife did not have a job outside the home during the marriage, spent her time raising their daughter and keeping the household in order. These cases are becoming more common in Europe. You have a stunned look. Boy, I wish the people at home could see the look on your face right now. If I didn't know any better, I'd say that the feed is frozen. Okay, there we go. Wow. Yeah?
That is that's sobering right there. Good thing we don't live in Europe, huh?
Yeah. How about that? Employees at the Richmond Wildlife Center are wearing fox masks and rubber gloves at work. They're doing this to care for an orphaned baby fox. In a video on Facebook, an employee with a fox mask on, wearing a fox mask, feeds the kit with a syringe while the kit sits on a large stuffed animal fox. The idea is to make it more likely that the kit can eventually be reintroduced into the wild.
Do you ever wear a mask like that at home or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Interesting. I understand what they're doing. That's cool. They're trying to get that fox back.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of interesting.
You're putting your uniform on every day. You got to put the fox mask on with the paws.
Yeah, that's unique. Yeah. Meow Dolan has more than 15,000 Twitch viewers. Her name sounds like a noise a cat makes. She, though, says she identifies as a dog.
It makes sense.
She said she's a dog. She plays fetch. She gnaws on dog bones and sleeps in a dog cage while wearing fake dog ears and a collar. She doesn't have a boyfriend. Instead, she has handlers who take her on walks, train her, and feed her. She claims she even eats dog food, although it is spiced up with some human ingredients as well.
Does she use a regular restroom?
I don't know.
I got to sit and think about this for a while.
I hope she takes Bob Barker's advice.
I'll get spayed and neutered.
I hope she's spayed.
Wow. This is...
more of this.
15,000 people are following this, though. 15,000 to watch this person...
act like a dog.
Dog it out.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, at least the people wearing the fox masks have a good reason.
There's a reason. They're just not deciding to do this. They're trying to help another animal. I don't think she's helping other animals.
Do you think, by the way, that the song playing at the Richmond Wildlife Center is What Does the Fox Say?
It could be.
I think that's okay.
Alongside Yakety Sax.
No, I think Yakety Sax is playing at Meow Dallin's house.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's a dog. Cleansing the gene pool. In sports, an English women's soccer league game was delayed 30 minutes because both teams had matching socks. Almost 33,000 people waited while one team went and bought black socks so they wouldn't have white ones like the other team.
That's a big deal in soccer. I get that.
Matching socks.
I wonder where they had to go to buy these socks.
I don't know.
Just go to Walmart? Socks. Hey, I need some socks. What do you need? Well, we need socks for the game.
Socks or us.
Once again, it doesn't sound like there was much communication. Someone screwed up. Unfortunately, I think someone lost their job.
Could be. A swarm of bees delayed a match at the BNP Paribas Open for nearly 2 hours. Bees descended on the court and attached themselves to the overhead spider camera. A worker used a vacuum to get rid of them, and then he later came back with a spray bottle to remove more bees. Fans cheered wildly for the guy. He also posed for selfies. The match took less time to play than the delay.
I saw the video of that. It seemed pretty crazy. It was all these bees were on that camera, the overhead camera like they have for the NFL games or whatever, and they had a beekeeper up there. Yeah, it was pretty wild. And then there were some videos like of the camera, and you had like these large shots of like large, huge bees because they had their faces on there. It was pretty fun.
I'm Ted Klopp. That's news to me.
Oh, no, not a dad joke.
What does a baby computer call his father?
A baby computer call his father? I'm not sure.
Data?
That joke was horrible.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of episode number 133. And, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the show that you have an announcement, a life-changing announcement.
I do.
I have an idea what this is, but
yes.
It's appropriate for me to step back and, the floor is yours.
I appreciate that. So, we try to be extremely humorous on this show the best we can. And in this instance, there will be some humor, but in all honesty, a bit of a sad note. So I will not talk specifically about anybody but myself in this situation. So unfortunately, Ted, I went through a divorce. So everything was finalized last week, Tuesday. Very interesting situation. Everything was done by Zoom. A lady by the name of Anita Cox sent us a request.
What was the woman's name?
Lady's name was Anita Cox.
Okay, thank you.
So we had the Zoom meeting, went through the whole thing. I unfortunately I moved in the summer. Once again, sad situation. What have I learned from this? Mental health is a big deal. It's a big deal, and you need to do things to make sure you put yourself in the right place. I give kudos to many different people in my life that helped me through this whole thing, which obviously includes yourself, Mr. Klopp, but other friends. But special thanks to Dr. Paul Makowski at Avenues in Medina. I spent a good amount of time with him, and I am proud to say that I'm doing much better than I was doing in the fall, as well as in the summer. So it is never an easy thing. I think many listeners have gone through things like this, and all you could do is control what you do and don't take anything for granted is my two tidbits, because things can change quickly. But yes, I'm back in Medina, spending more time with my kids than I have before. I got myself a condo here, not far from the square, and it's been great. Yeah, it's been great. But yeah, it's been a interesting situation, to say the least. So I didn't expect anything like this to happen, but it did, and you just have to deal with it and move forward. So that's where it's at. I've had a lot of calls and texts from people asking questions and all that, and I figured this would be a great time to kind of let people know what's going on. You will not hear me say anything negative other than I wish the best for myself. I wish the best for my kids. And I wish that we can just keep moving forward and go from there. And that's it. I don't say names or anything like that. That's what I do. So
no names, please. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, except for the name of the woman who sent the Zoom meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was very interesting. Yes.
Well, it's interesting how that process works nowadays with all the Zoom. And
isn't it? It was crazy. I mean, to obviously can't get into too many details, but you get on a Zoom, the whole thing completed in 6 minutes and 22 seconds. I had the divorce decree maybe 2 hours later. I never had to leave where I record all my Zooms and do all my work.
Do they require that everybody has their camera on and whatnot? So that
oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to have your camera on. You're not supposed to be drinking. You're not supposed to be on your phone, all that fun stuff. So, yeah, right. It's like being in a courtroom. It's just so informal. I had a suit on because I didn't know what to wear. And so the gentleman asked, he's like, hey, do you usually wear a suit? I said, well, no. I just wanted to wear what I would be wearing in a courtroom because I didn't know how this whole thing worked. The judge didn't even have a robe on or anything like that. So
did you dress for television? Waist up?
No, I did the full thing.
Okay.
No, I didn't do any Scott Sable stuff. Okay. I did the full thing. I didn't wear shorts or anything. I had the full suit on. So, but yeah, I was just, you know, glad that whole thing's done and just move forward. I forgot to mention this and out and about. A couple of friends invited me to go out afterwards, which was good. I had the day off and all that. So I went to Medina Brewing in Medina. Where else would you have Medina Brewing?
That's true.
It was awesome. It was a really, really nice time. We had a good time. A bunch of different friends were there. Actually, one guy came in from Columbus who was just doing some business in Cleveland and all that. It was great. So hats off to them. It was wonderful. I got to see some people I haven't seen in a long time, and just nice to reconnect. But
I don't know. You know, you don't have to talk about this, but if you decide to throw your hat back into the dating game, I remember the last time this happened. And I thoroughly enjoyed the shenanigans that went on whatever the website was that you were on.
I was on everything.
On everything. Yes. So
I was on everything.
If you at some point decide that you're going to dip your toe back into that water, I feel like we were doing this show back when that was happening. We just weren't recording it.
No, it wasn't recorded. So yeah.
I'm hoping that you will share some, if there's nonsense to be experienced, I'm hoping that you'll share it here.
You'll be the first one to hear Thank about you. This. If that, Thank if I decide to go that route.
I will remind everybody of a quote that my great friend Ken Dworznik has told me more than once. If it's not awkward, it doesn't feel right.
That's correct. Very well said. Very well said. What was the other famous quote that I also had?
I don't know.
It was said at a football game one time. I believe it was something to do with no power.
And oh, I believe the answer I yes. had. Yes.
We were doing a
stand-up, and the crew could not get the light to come. They couldn't get the light to come on. And we're standing there waiting, you know, just hanging out. And under his breath, Ken leans over to me and says, "It's just like at home. No power."
No power. It's a classic.
Which,
Tim McCarty. That was
Tim
McCarty.
I can't tell you how many times I have reminded my wife of that since that happened.
We might have to have one of those editions when we have a couple drinks and do the B side of this show and talk about some of the stuff from some of those games and all that kind of stuff. That was
some of the dating stuff.
No, dating stuff. I think I've released all those stories on this podcast. I'm talking about the behind the scenes stuff of football games. You know, the day that
I see what you're saying.
Mr. Goldring was escorted out of the building and all that fun stuff, which is just complete ridiculousness.
Hold on. I'll leave you with an impression. Maybe you can identify the.
Okay.
Turn the camera off that guy.
I do remember that. That's the first time I've ever been yelled at during a game while on live air.
We're on the air.
So strange. Hey, speaking of Ashland, unfortunately, the women's basketball team fell to Ferris State in the regional. It wasn't the regional finals, the regional semis, but great year for them. Two losses on the year with, I think it's 34 wins, which is just crazy. So, and if you want to hear some foolishness, you can listen to a podcast that I am a part of on Ashland University's website. It's on all your favorite podcast availability areas, just like you listen to this. It's called EagleCast. I'm going to be honest with you. Great episode, but I did listen to it. I put myself to sleep. I'm not going to lie. We got I'm trying to think if there's anybody that's on there that has been on this show. No. Jeff Alex, no. Jason Miller, no. Kendall Meyer, who I really like, no. Michael Kuntz is on there. He's talking about, are you signing up for Vinylthon?
No.
Vinylthon is when basically they're having this in April where you can go on and spin some records. It's a national thing. Now, I have track and field. We're back to that again. Well, Ted, great show. Special thanks to John Ryan. That's all we had. That was our guest.
Oh, we had Scott
Sable. Oh, no, we had Scott Sable. How can I forget Scott?
Well.
So, as he's getting ready for the solar eclipse as well, and I bet you he can't wait for that thing to be done. So,
yeah.
That'd be the greatest 3 minutes of everyone's life. So, well, Ted, until next time, please don't forget, we're just two middle-aged men in Cleveland.
Two Middle-Aged Men in Cleveland is sponsored by Westminster AV. Custom audio-visual packages for all occasions.